Hey there, welcome to The Hot Slice, the weekly podcast brought to you by Pizza Today magazine. I'm your host, Jeremy White, editor-in-chief of Pizza Today. Joined today by the birthday girl.
Oh, it is.
Happy 29th birthday, Denise Greer.
Yes, 29. I love it. I'll keep that. It's just next year when we do this, it's just going to say 29 as well. So let's just keep going.
So
thank you.
We know many of our readers and listeners personally. We meet them at Pizza Expo over the years, and we formed, you know, real meaningful relationships with a lot of pizzeria owners. So a lot of people watching this know us personally. So they don't care if we talk a little personal talk for a minute. How are you going to spend your birthday once you're finished with your working day? What are you going to do today or celebrate?
I'm actually not going to a pizzeria. I'm so sorry, guys. I am going to a Vietnamese restaurant.
Okay.
So I'm going to go out for Vietnamese, and then I'm going to something called the Moth Story Slam. So it's a storytelling event.
Okay.
Me as a storyteller, I actually really love those events. So I'm going to go do that and hang out with my friends.
Awesome. Well, we wish you the happiest of birthdays, and
thanks.
Hope that this day and this week are as amazing as you are.
Absolutely. Well, you know, usually, you know, my birthday is in January. So either it's below zero and there's a blizzard, or it's really warm. Now we're kind of in the middle today, so I'll take it. I'll take it all January long.
Fair enough. So to switch gears now, our guest today is Scott Sandler. Scott has previously owned two different pizzerias in the St. Louis area. Most recently, he owned a vegan pizzeria called Pizza Head that he grew to quite a fair amount of acclaim, and he sold it about 2 years ago. Scott has worked as a consultant, as a speaker, has written some articles for us for Pizza Today, and he is now going to get back into the pizza game. He is getting ready to open another pizzeria in St. Louis, and of course, we have him on the on our slate of speakers for the 40th Pizza Expo in March as well. So he's got a full plate right now.
Yeah,
there's a lot to talk to Scott about.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you, his new spot is wood fired. So we talk a little bit about the wood fired. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. But, you know, the thing that I love about Scott is he is so smart. Like,
yeah,
he's a numbers guy. So when you talk to him about growing the business and kind of how to approach that, he takes a very methodical approach. And you're going to hear a little bit about that and how he's going to talk about it at Expo, because that's very important. It's a side of the business that I think that a lot of people don't know. They outsource that, or they try to learn a little bit about it. But it, you know, understanding the numbers is a hard thing to learn. It is,
right.
it's a hard thing to get down. So he's definitely here to help.
No, you're right. And for not all, but many pizzeria owners and our operators across the country, it's the hardest component of the job.
Mm-hmm.
Again, everyone's different. Some have finance backgrounds or whatnot, but many of the pizzeria owners and operators that you and I encounter got into the business out of passion, the very romantic idea of making great food and serving customers. And their knowledge in the financial realm, it is often limited in something they have to acquire as they learn to run their businesses. Scott, like you said, super intelligent, which is the reason we have him speaking at Pizza Expo on the topics that he is speaking.
Yeah. And I, you know, I love it because he mentions pro forma, which we just had Mike Bausch write an article about pro forma.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think like those are some big ideas that, once you get your head around doing them well, then you really start to see your business soar. So I love the focus on finance, because, you know, it's something every operator, regardless of what you do, you've got to get a handle on, whether you you learn it internally or outsource it, but then also gain the knowledge from that outsourcing. It's just vital.
Well said. So, Denise, we could talk all day long, but unfortunately, I don't think people are here to listen to us. So let's get Scott on and see what he's got to say.
Performance Food Service is proud to deliver high-quality products, innovative technology, and custom operational solutions to restaurants of all sizes across the country. The flagship division of Performance Food Group, with deep roots in the restaurant industry, Performance Food Service has been the exclusive distributor of the Roma family of brands for more than 65 years. This signature relationship has allowed Performance Food Service to become a leader in the pizza and Italian segment of food service nationwide.
Scott, what I just want to start off by asking what you've been up to. You know, I know that you were, I visited you in St. Louis when you were, when you owned and operated Pizza Head. It was really a great spot. A lot of great vegan slices. Had a fun day watching you in action. You've spoken at Pizza Expo, and then you decided to sell your pizza business. What, about 2 years ago?
December of 2021.
Okay, so yeah. What in the world have you been up to for the last couple of years?
Well, I was taking some time off, working on some house projects, still making pizza at home. I got a couple unis in the backyard and trying to figure out what I was going to do next. I wasn't in a rush, but I guess I couldn't escape the pizza biz because I love it so much. So basically, I was playing a waiting game. Well, I didn't think I was going to open a place right when I sold it. I was kind of going to go off into the sunset, so to speak, and you know, hike, ski, you know, take some time off, spend time with my daughter, do all kinds of family stuff. But you know, as time went on, I realized I tried a few different food things because I did have a non-compete with pizza here in St. Louis, so I did try a few other food things, vegan oriented, and I just realized that just the passion wasn't there. It was in pizza. So when I realized I wanted to do pizza again, then I made a few moves to work out the non-compete. I got out of that. An opportunity fell in my lap. And so here I am about to open my third place in a few months.
Is Denise Pizza. It's
pulls you back in every time.
It gets a hold of your soul and it won't let you go.
No.
So, you know, Scott, you know, I give you props for thinking you might do something else, but silly boy, you know, pizza's got you, man. Pizza's got you.
Well, the funny thing is it's almost just as fun to open a pizza place to say when people ask you, what do you do? Oh, I own a restaurant. I own a pizza place. Oh, and you get that sort of oh factor to what you do, as opposed to like, well, you know, before I was doing real estate, and you know, I'd end up like, I think I told the story about I would go to Vegas for the self-storage conventions, and you know, compared to the
sounds
pizza.
Like a hoot.
Yeah.
It's like, it's night and day, you know, who'd want to go to, you don't want to go to a self-storage convention. It's not that fun.
No. So you've acquired, now have you acquired an existing pizzeria, or did you acquire a blank slate that you're going to turn into a pizzeria? What's the plan here? Are you sticking with, I'm assuming you're sticking with the vegan concept.
Actually, that's the big news. I forgot to mention that this place will not be vegan or vegetarian.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
A regular pizza joint.
Nice.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. Well,
yeah, let's get into that.
I'll have an option, of course, but it won't be a focus of this place. So this will be a very, I took over a place that had a wood fired oven in already. It was a pizza place for many, many years, but it sort of never really fully reached its potential. It was a gentleman from Bosnia who, in St. Louis, there's a big Bosnian population, and they do a lot of food here. And he built the oven, and it's a beautiful oven.
Oh, nice.
And basically he did, you know, I don't really know the person, because I know the landlord, who happens to be a somewhat of a family member. So he'd been talking to me about this space for a long time. And finally, the other gentleman vacated, and I took it over and signed the lease. Now, as far as being vegan or vegetarian, you know, I had already established two pizza places here in St. Louis that are both still open and still doing really well, and still have, and both of them have big vegan menus.
Yeah.
So I thought that you know, St. Louis doesn't really need another vegan, vegetarian focused pizzeria.
Okay.
The area I'm in, I'm still vegetarian, and I always will be. I won't eat the meat, but I'll serve it because most of the clientele around here in this new area, I've done that concept twice and it's been successful. Pizzioli is not a vegetarian anymore, but it still has all my vegan pizzas there. And then Pizza Ed, of course, is vegetarian and it's vegetarian focused and it's very much part of the brand. So I just feel like because St. Louis is a small town and I needed to reach out to the customer base in this area, that it just wasn't a good business move to, to do that.
Makes sense.
As far as ethically, I feel like, you know, me not serving it here isn't going to stop people. And I'm not trying to stop people from eating meat. That's what I do. So
sure. Right.
Serving it is just a smart business move here. And it's also, so I don't compete with, anyway, it's a totally different style than it. It's going to be a totally different place than Pizza Head. So it's, you know, I didn't. Anyway, that's you know, pretty
that's a revelation. That's a bombshell to me because I've always known you as a vegetarian, as someone who has been a real proponent of vegan pizzas, and so yeah, to me that was a bombshell. I did not expect you to say what you just said, so that's really cool.
I love it.
And what neighborhood are you going to be in St. Louis?
I'm in an area called the Central West End in St. Louis, which demographically is an interesting area. There's a lot of professionals in this area, a lot of PhD postdocs. It's near a hospital. It's near
Washington University.
Washington University Medical Center and Barnes Jewish Hospital. There's a lot of international people in this area. Mm-hmm. So it's a totally different demographic and market than where Pizza Head was and even where Pizzioli was. So it's sort of like there's not much pizza in this area. Mm-hmm. Actually, the thing is I don't know exactly what type of, I'm experimenting right now with different types of pizzas, different flours, different bakes, different bake times in the oven. So I really want to carve out something unique in St. Louis that nobody's doing.
I love it.
It's going to be a straight Neapolitan pizzeria because this oven, while it's a beautiful oven and it's a brick oven, it's not really has the Neapolitan dimensions. So it requires, to keep it at 800 or 900 degrees, this style of oven is going to just consume a massive amount of wood and it'd be very hard to maintain. So this oven, I'm probably going to bake somewhere around 700 degrees in that area. So I don't know. And I said, I'm working with some different flour blends and I kind of want to come up with something that's artisan.
Yeah.
You know, that's an overused word these days, but basically hand, I'm going to probably make my own fresh mozzarella here and it's going to be totally high end ingredients.
As far as
whether it's going to be New Haven kind of style operation or whether Neapolitan style, the pizzas, whether it's going to be 12 inch or 16 inch, I haven't figured that out yet.
Now that with the wood fired oven, how hard of it is the adjustment from going from, because you were on a deck at Pizza Head, correct?
But I had a wood fired oven at Pizzioli.
At Pizzioli, okay.
Yeah.
So as far as for other people that maybe are trying to transition to wood, what is your experience with between working with the two different oven styles?
Well, obviously the deck oven, you just turn on a switch and within 20 minutes is up to the temp. And, you know, in 30 to 40 minutes, the deck is all heated and you're ready to roll. With the wood oven, obviously it's more laborious. You have to get the fire started. If you're using the wood oven every day, it's much easier and it only won't take that much time because these ovens retain the heat so well. Mm-hmm. This is a totally brick oven here. So if you're doing it from cold to start, you know, if it's a cold oven, like in the beginning, I'm probably only going to be open Wednesday to Saturday. And so when I fire up that oven on Wednesday, it's going to take quite a bit of time, probably four hours, 5 hours to get it really heated. Then I would say 2 hours. Once it's heated the next day and the next day, probably 1 to 2 hours. So the main difference is that it's so easy. And training wise, if you have people that work for you, they can come in and flip the switch on the electric, oven or gas oven, just turn it on. So the wood oven, well, baking at a lower temperature with this wood oven and not 900 degrees, but let's say 650, 700, it's going to be easier to train people on and keep the oven. But you know, there's nothing like a wood fired pizza. Nothing like a wood fired pizza or a coal pizza. You know, gas and electric, they do great pizzas too, but something special about a wood pizza.
They're really, hey Scott, real quickly, before I forget to ask, does this new concept, does it have a name yet? Or are you still tinkering with the name?
I'm still tinkering with the name. I'll have a name probably my daughter knocked out a beautiful logo for me, but I'm probably 95% on it. I don't want to reveal it right now, but I'm probably going to go with the name I have. It's a pretty cool, she did a really cool design for me, and you know, it's sort of trying to get my footing with my third place, and my first place was a pure passion, and I had the drive, and I had it was a different time in my life, and then Pizza Head was the evolution of me in the business, and then now this third place, I'm trying to find my it's evolving. It's sort of like an embryo growing, and it's the concept isn't fully fleshed out yet, but whether I'm going to do table service or order at the counter, it will be a little higher end concept than Pizza Head was, as far as like the ingredients and the size, so getting to your question about the wood fired oven and the electric deck oven, sometimes people don't have a choice and they have to get, I said I would never go back to wood, but never say never.
Famous last words.
But now that I got the wood oven in here, and I didn't have to build it because it was already here. So again, I'm doing what I did in my first two places, is taking over a place with infrastructure already and some equipment to keep my startup costs down.
Yeah. I'm glad to have you back in the game.
Yeah.
I was happy for you when you sold and retired. I'm glad to have you back in the game. And speaking of back in the game, I wanted to tease your appearance at Pizza Expo. It's the 40th anniversary of Pizza Expo, as we all know. And you are going to be doing two seminars as well as a hands-on food demonstration at Pizza Expo. Talk a little bit about the topics that you are going to cover, please.
Well, the first one, how to increase your profit margin. I think I've been doing a version of that for many years, with different names. Mm-hmm. And that seminar is really about, it's not accounting. It's not, it's basically more forensic. It's how do you look at your business from a number standpoint to make sure you're making the right profit margin for all your efforts. And there's no waste. There's no sort of, I say like a bucket of water. Okay. And there's holes in it. And then, but you don't see those holes because they're small. And so, but the water keeps going out of them, and eventually your water's coming down. How do you find those holes, close them up? Meaning that where's your efficiency? Where are you inefficient? Let's put it that way. As far as I say quality of productivity, not quantity of productivity, meaning that.
I love that.
A simple example would be, let's say tomato sauce, you know, are you buying it from the can crushed and you're just pulling it out and you're putting it on the pizza? Are you taking that crushed and you're creating your own sauce? Or are you getting whole peeled tomatoes? You're taking them out, you're crushing them yourself. So decisions like that are time. In other words, involve labor. So it's like, how do I want to do it? Do I want to, where do I want to spend my money on my prep time? Am I concerned with the whole peeled tomatoes and I want to spend the time and pay someone to crush them and to do this stuff? Or do I just want to open the pizza sauce can and have my staff just put the sauce on the pizza? They don't have to do anything. They just have to open the can. So you're saving labor with that decision, you're going to save labor. And you multiply that little labor over 12 months time. I always do everything with a year time. I do multipliers. And you add all those little decisions up. And then by the end of the year, you realize, okay, why am I only making 10% profit margin when I should be making 20% profit margin? Another thing is the staffing and the scheduling. That is extremely important. You don't want to be overstaffed, but you don't want to be understaffed. So if you have understaffed, you have problems. Yeah, you're not paying as much on the labor, but you suffer, your service might suffer. If you're overstaffing, you got probably the service covered, but your payroll is going up to 35 to 40% of your sales costs, which it should be 30% or under. So I go over these ratios in the class that actually I learned from a book I read, and it's very telling. It's called 30-30-20-20. That's the baseline for a restaurant. 30% of your costs should be of your sales should be payroll. 30% should be food costs. 20% overhead and other, and 20% profit margin. So that's the standard. And if your numbers don't line up, like if you dissect each area that I just mentioned and you figure out, well, why is my profit margin 5%? Why is it 10%? I'm doing $1.5 million in sales, but I'm only making 5-7% profit margin when I should be making 15-20%. Now that's going to vary depending on what market you're in. Obviously, if you're in New York, LA, but I still think that formula more or less works. And that's what I'm going to talk about in the class. And I'm going to talk about different little small decisions. What I was good at Pizza Head was scheduling. So knowing exactly, the other thing is projecting your sales, knowing how much sales you're going to get, then you back into everything else. So one of the most important things I'm going to teach in the class is how to project properly, because that's the most important thing, which is what I was doing before I got in the pizza business. So I was doing 10-year cash flow pro formas in the real estate industry. So I was projecting out 10 years potential cash flow and then backing into the rate of return. So with your shop, you know, this can be a small mom and pop shop, or it could be someone who owns 10 units. If you're not doing these fundamental things, you're bleeding money. And I'm not talking about paying people less and overworking them, which that is the bad way to try to make money. So it's sort of like this class will be about how to increase your profit margin without being cheap.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that I feel like a lot of operators say that they have a lot of trouble in, is they're really good in the kitchen or they're really good with people, but it's that numbers game. They're not good with the numbers. So I feel like that people should really mark that one down on their calendar to make sure they get to it.
I was lucky because I am good with numbers, and it's always been my thing has been numbers. But like you said, I want to share that with, because ultimately that's success or failure. It's not, yes, it is how good a pizza you make, but that's really only a small portion of the whole picture. And I think a lot of people go to expo and they think all I need to do is make a great pizza and I'm going to be successful in the restaurant.
If only. Now, hey, you are also doing a seminar on how to sell your pizzeria for top dollar.
Exactly. And I've sold two of them successfully. I've created brands that other people want. And, you know, I didn't make, millions and millions of dollars selling these, but I did sell them for good amounts of money, small amount of, you know, with this small mom and pop. And what I'm going to talk about in that class is all the pitfalls of how you should start thinking about when you open a pizzeria or you have a pizzeria. You should always think about exit strategy. And that's what I learned in real estate. You may have the pizza place until you die, but probably not. So what's your exit strategy? Are you commingling your personal and your business together and you're trying to not pay any taxes? So you have 4 or 5 years of not making money on your tax returns. And then you go and try to sell your business and you think it's worth $1 million. And in fact, you might have to pay somebody to take it because you're in debt, or you have no proof. Well, I really made this, but a sophisticated buyer is going to be like, well, this is what your returns show, that you didn't make anything for 5 years. So why am I paying this for this business? I'm just going to pay for your equipment. I'll buy 20 cents on the dollar. for your equipment. That's it. Maybe a little bit for the name. So I'm going to talk about how you should think about exit. If you're not thinking about it in the a great time. You're opening a pizzeria. It's exciting. You don't want to think about the end, but if you think about the end, right, you're not going to necessarily, it's not a morbid thing. It's just like, hey, I want to be prepared with, I want to create something somebody else wants. I want to create a name brand, and I want to make sure all my numbers are on the books, like tax returns, legit, everything. And that way your place you'll create value with your investment, because you're basically investing your time, your energy, your love, your passion. You're doing all this. Why shouldn't you get a reward at the end?
And you know, and I love that you brought that up, because oftentimes we'll see a really good accountant will tell you, hey, Scott, look, you paid yourself well. Go buy two trucks, buy a mixer, buy an oven, go spend X amount of dollars on equipment. And that way we're going to lower your tax liability. And then at the end of the day, you may show minimal to no profit for that year by design. But then you try to go to sell, and like you said, a savvy buyer is like, hey, Scott, you made no money last year. So why would I pay you for this place? So
I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, like, that own restaurants and want to sell. And they talk to me because they know I sold successfully here in St. Louis. And, you know, they have an overinflated value of their restaurant. And sure, I know most small restaurants, they're either running their personal expenses through the mm-hmm. business, like, yeah, or they're doing all kinds of stuff. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, if I'm buying this business, I'm not paying you I'm not paying that, because why should I pay that? Like, you want me to pay for all your improvements you're going to make and all the potential profit you supposedly made, but you can't show me you made it. So mm-hmm. why am I paying X dollars for this business? And I think a lot of people come to the end of their career maybe, and they realize their place is worth nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's a bad place to be.
That's it. So I successfully created two brands that other people wanted, sold them. Not, you know, again, it's not money to retire on, but it's definitely a cushy amount of money that I got way more than my investment. Not only did I make revenue all those years, but then I got my money back plus on my initial investment based on the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Now, typically, unless you're selling a huge portfolio of places, if you're a small mom and pop and you're selling, you'll get a decent amount of money, but it's probably not enough money to retire on when you sell your mom and pop business.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, unless you're doing $3 to $4 million in sales or something like that. You know, we were doing 800,000 plus at Pizza Head, and we were doing at Pizzioli, I was doing about 300,000 to 400,000, but I was only open 5 days a week at night, and I was doing all the pizzas myself, but I had a high profit margin. So, you know, 1,000 square foot at Pizza Head, pumping out on an all vegetarian pizza place, pumping out 800,000 plus.
We probably would have
been at a million if I had kept it.
And absolutely.
Seven days a week, 10 to 11 hours a day. I probably would have been back to those. But even for that, you know, you can only sell for so much. And that's what I'm going to talk about. You know, I'm going to talk about in the seminar, and whatever I talk about will relate to whether you have a mom and pop shop or you have a portfolio of 20 pizzerias. Mm-hmm. It's all the same. I did $100 million, you know, transactions in the real estate and market. And, you know, whether as big as the transaction is or as small as the transaction is, there's still the same fundamentals. So anyone that has like multiple stores can come to this seminar. Even though I sold two mom and pop shops, I still have experience selling, you know, millions mm-hmm. and millions of dollars of real estate, and it sort of transitions into your pro forma and what the value is of your place. And that's really the key here, is that what is the value of your place? And I also recommend going through a business broker in the sale. Unless you have a lawyer and you're savvy and you've done this a million times, maybe you don't need the business broker.
Yeah.
Denise, that's a question everyone always wants to know. What's my pizzeria worth?
Yeah.
Right now, if I sold today, what could I get for my business?
It is always the top 10 article on Pizza Today. And this article was written several years ago. We probably need to redo it. But yeah, what's my pizzeria worth is like one of the top search things on Pizza Today.
Maybe I can spit out an article on that for you.
Hey,
too.
We might have you. That's great.
It's time to revisit that. And yeah, because I don't want you to give away anything today that you would say in an article that we'd publish. And I don't want you to give away anything that you're going to say at Pizza Expo.
Maybe it could be a follow-up. Maybe it could be a follow-up to the expo.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Jeremy, something I'm curious about is, Scott, you know, you're getting ready to open this new pizzeria. What are you looking for? What are you going to be like jonesing for and looking for at Pizza Expo? Like what are you excited to try to find for your new shop?
Well, this shop here already has the mixer and the pizza prep and the oven there, but I'm going to be looking for boxing because I want to do some cool boxes. I'm going to be looking for new products, like especially with the meat products that I don't know nothing about.
Yeah. So, if you need somebody to taste pepperoni and sausage, I'll be your girl. I'll come around with you.
I got some recommendations from some notable figures in the pizza industry that are speakers at Pizza Great. Expo. But I'm really excited to talk to vendors about different kinds of things that I wasn't looking for before. One, the meat. Two, maybe some interesting herb mixes, and not using the standard red pepper flakes, just basic equipment, sheeters, even though I've been experimenting here with a sort of a sheeter version, New Haven to a neo-Neapolitan to, so I'm kind of like at the moment I'm all over the map as to what kind of pizza I want to do here. Mm-hmm. But so I'll be looking for every year I've gone, and even if I weren't speaking, I would still be going because I learned so much there, and I come back buzzing. And I think people that go there and love going there, that's, Pizza Expo, when I was thinking out of the pizza industry and I kept thinking about Pizza Expo, that's really what I was thinking about, like how I wanted to get back in, because I was just like, I really want to be involved with Pizza Expo. I want to go to Pizza Expo. If I'm not speaking or I'm not having a pizza place, I could go, but it just wouldn't be as exciting. So I had to get a pizza place in order to go to Pizza Expo.
I love it.
So kind of the opposite of what people do.
Yeah, no doubt. Scott, we're about out of time for the day, and I don't want to keep you long, but I want to thank you sincerely for taking some time out of your day while you're literally planning a new business venture. Thank you for sitting down with Denise and I. I cannot wait to see you in Las Vegas. I always enjoy running into you, a little hug, a little fist bump, catching up with you, seeing
how you're doing. And I will still be doing that vegan. I'll still be doing that vegan nut.
That was what I wanted to close with. That's what I wanted to close with. My final question was if you will briefly walk us through the hands-on demonstration that you will be doing.
Well, in the last few years, I used cashews and made a cashew sort of cheese, for about lack of a better word, which is really simple to make, and that's been very successful there.
It's outstanding, by the way. Outstanding.
So good.
But this year I'm going to expand it to other nuts like almonds and walnuts, and just show the diversity of nut-based. So they all have different flavor profiles, and I think it's going to be interesting to and then I make my own dough there, and I make my own pizza. And I got a shout out last year from the Washington Post article, which was awesome.
I saw that.
She really liked it.
She liked it.
She didn't feel, her stomach wasn't full after or something. She mentioned.
Yeah, it was a great article. She did.
I think either way, it's a very quick, easy way to make something that you can sort of cater to your vegan and vegetarian customers, or dairy intolerant, people that have dairy intolerance It's I think it's better than the bag stuff. I'm nothing against the bag stuff, and we have customers who love that stuff, but I'm not a fan of it.
Fair enough.
It's a good product, you know. So this is an alternative that you can have, because we had both at Pizza Head. We had the bag stuff, and then we had our cashew. So
yeah,
some people are allergic to nuts. So the other stuff is soy based typically, so that works for customers. But mm-hmm. this is an alternative if you're not allergic to nuts.
Great,
I love it. I'm not vegan. I love
Buddhist food. I'm an omnivore. Give me it all.
But I love
your food. Yeah, one last thing I'll end with is, you know, good food is good food. So just because you have an almond pate on your pizza as opposed to, you know, dairy mozzarella, they're mm-hmm. just two different profiles. This isn't to replace that. This is just mm-hmm. adding something interesting to your pizzas that's non-dairy.
Agreed. Well said.
Yeah,
I love it. Well, we will see you in March. Oh, soon. It's already like in 2 days.
It's coming
February,
fast.
So it's coming fast.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I just want to say the highlight of my entire pizza career is the fact that we were on the cover of 2019.
That's right.
Like, literally, that is like the crowning achievement in my life. I feel like I'm so grateful and humbled by. But I just want to emphasize how much Pizza Expo has meaned to me over the years.
I love it. Well, you know, we by design.
And Pizza Today Magazine.
Yeah. By design and very intentionally, we don't put very many people on our cover. And you are one of the few, my friend. So congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining, Scott. We will see you in Las Vegas, my friend.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thanks. See you then. Bye-bye.